Hello and welcome to the Locked On Big Ten podcast. My name is Adam Eaton. Thanks for listening on the Locked On Podcast Network. This is the relaunch, the reimagination of the Locked On Big Ten podcast, which going forward will be your home for information on all the happenings with your favorite Big Ten team. News, notes, stats, recaps, analysis, interviews. You'll find that all here exclusively on the Locked On Big Ten podcast. A little about me to start. Lifelong sports fan. Started hosting college football shows a few years back. And I like to approach things from a few different perspectives. I'm a fan first, and so I always kind of look at things from a fan's perspective. But I try to bring a couple of different things. So hopefully this show for you will be equal parts informative, analytical, and entertaining. I like to find the lighter side of sports at times as well. So be sure to get in early, right? This is the first edition of the reimagination. So get in early now. Subscribe to the show if you're not already subscribing. We're available on all of those major podcast platforms. So you're going to want to subscribe. Find us out there. Make sure you follow the show on Twitter. That's Locked On Big Ten Podcast. You can also follow me at Sports by Adam. I want this show to be interactive. So this should not be me just talking to you all the time. I want to hear from you. I want your thoughts. I want your opinions. And I'm going to find some ways to work you all into the show as well. So come along with me on this journey. Today, here's what we got. A fun show packed for you today. So predictions sure to gone wrong. A big slate full of games this Saturday. I will tell you what's going to happen, and I'm sure I'll be wrong pretty much about all of them. Probably the biggest game this weekend is the Michigan Wolverines traveling to play Penn State. So what's going to happen? Well, I don't know, but I found someone who did. You're going to want to stick around and hear a little bit from our guy that you hear exclusively here on the Locked On Podcast Network. And to start the show off, and probably start every show off, we'll go through some news and notes. I'll give you some updates on what's happening throughout the Big Ten. There's a lot of different storylines, and if it's happening out there, we will be sure to cover it here. So again, sit tight, buckle up. Welcome back to the reimagination of the Locked On Big Ten podcast. Let's get this show on the road. All right, our first news topic of the day. Rutgers football, not exactly a banner year thus far for the Scarlet Knights. Certainly mired in a bit of a slump, and that obviously led to the dismissal of coach Chris Ash earlier this season. So what happens next? Well, breaking news out of the world of sports today. So this comes exclusive and courtesy of PennLive.com. There are rumors abound that Joe Moorhead, who you may recall as the former Penn State offensive coordinator, now the current head coach at Mississippi State, is potentially the front runner for this particular Rutgers job. And before you ask yourself, why is that a thing? How is Joe Moorhead a candidate? Why is Joe Moorhead a candidate? He hasn't really let the world on fire just yet at Mississippi State. Don't forget, he's a big guy from the East Coast. So he spent some time at Fordham, which is an FCF school. He went 38-13 there. He obviously has some ties as the offensive coordinator at Penn State. So Rutgers allegedly and potentially looking at him as an option for their next coach. Now, as with all these coaching searches, there are obstacles in the way. First of all, he's obviously still a head coach at Mississippi State, so that has to be adjudicated and determined. Buyouts are a big part of this. It looks like his buyout's about $1.95 million, so about $2 million. To buy him out of Mississippi State, which is not that much of a lift these days. Buyouts can certainly get into the 10 and 20 million range in some cases if you're an upper echelon coach, and you know, usually in the 3 to 7 range for sort of the mid-level coach here. So a manageable buyout from that perspective. But I think the article today in Penn Live just references what would Rutgers be willing to offer from a yearly salary perspective. And so that may be a sticking point that Joe Moorhead considers. And ultimately, again, he hasn't made any comment when asked this week. He essentially said, hey, look, I've got a team right now. I'm focused on that team. You know, Rutgers and the search firm Rutgers has retained, also declined comment on the search. So right now, just rumor and speculation, but something to keep an eye on. And what I'm curious about, so Rutgers fans, again, find me on Twitter, find me on Locked On Big Ten Podcast, or find me at Sports by Adam. Would you be okay with Joe Moorhead as your coach? I know there's a lot of sentiment out there for Greg Schiano, some folks thinking of a throwback to the glory days of Rutgers football. And by glory days, I mean like 10 years ago, and what Shiano brought to the program. So Rutgers fans, Joe Moorhead, does that excite you? Is that a coach you're looking forward to? Look, my perspective is he certainly did a nice job offensively at Penn State. You know, when you find someone who has ties to the area and knows local coaches, high school coaches particularly, that goes a big way when you think about recruiting. But again, Shiano has a track record, but his track record is 10 years old now. And he was big in recruiting. He was big up there. He was also big in the state of Florida. But Florida's changed a bunch in the time that Shiano's gone. You know, landscape's changed down there. The schools have changed down there. And so what that still holds today, who knows? But curious Rutgers fans, let me know. Are you excited about Joe Moorhead? If you had to choose between Joe Moorhead and Greg Shiano, what would you pick? Again, find me on Twitter. Let me know, and I'll retweet some of the best responses, and maybe even share some of those on a future edition of the Locked On Big Keg podcast. Next news and notes. All right, the sky is falling in Michigan State. Sorry, Sparty. The sky is falling, allegedly. So a fifth player, Cam Chambers, has announced his intention to transfer. And obviously, that's got some folks in a panic. Look, Michigan State has not had some of the best headlines of late. Some of the stuff going on with Mark D'Antonio. I don't even want to get into some of the stuff with Larry Nassar over the summer, which frankly doesn't have much to do with the football program. But again, five folks have transferred or at least entered the vaunted transfer portal. I got to get a sounder for transfer portal going forward. Let's see if I can find one. Maybe it's, you know, I don't know, something that, you know, is scary or something that just sort of makes you cringe. But anyway, a fifth player, Cam Chambers, receiver, has joined Brandon Randall, Connor Hayward, Ladarius Jefferson, and Weston Bridges. So on the outside looking in, you might think, hey, the sky is falling. Oh, my goodness. But look, let's take a little closer look at what this really means. Obviously, at 4-3 right now, this isn't exactly the best news ever for Michigan State. But if you think about this realistically, both Hayward and Jefferson, they weren't even really featured on the depth chart anyway. Randall didn't see the field really as much as some of the younger guys have. And even Chambers saw some folks get ahead of him on the depth chart. So it isn't like these are core players, you know, starters particularly or really heavy rotation guys that are transferring. Now, again, it's never good to lose players because it signals to the outside something may be amiss or something may be wrong. So I'm certain that that's probably not what Mark D'Antonio and the staff are looking for. But the reality is sometimes in schools when you have big recruiting classes, this will happen. And with this new transfer portal reality, it's going to happen more and more and more. And so that's also not a guarantee any of these kids actually leave. Just being in the portal doesn't mean that you're leaving the school. But again, I do think, you know, you want to keep an eye on this if you're Michigan State. You want to make sure you control the narrative, you control the spin, because, you know, look, the national media will run with this and say, yet again, another transfer. But the reality is, you know, how will this really impact the program? The recruiting class next year right now isn't projected to be super strong. I mean, obviously things can change late. Early signing period still upon us. So if I'm Michigan State, look, I'm concerned. If I'm a fan of Michigan State, I'm probably scratching my head and a little bit curious. But I also think it's a tad premature to assume that the sky is falling. The good news about any of this information, by the way, is if you want to learn more about what's going on in Michigan State, we have got the show for you. You're going to want to check out Locked On Spartans, which is found exclusively here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Whatever's happening on the land of Sparty, you will hear about it on that show. Again, each and every day, Locked On Podcast are there for you. They will give you some insight on what's happening and what is going on. We're going to get to a commercial break in a second. Before we do that, though, let me remind you a little bit about DoorDash. So DoorDash, treat yourself to a meal you deserve and have your favorite restaurants come to you with DoorDash. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code LOCKEDON. Get to DoorDash, download the app, Locked On your promo code, $15, get your $5 off. Make sure you tell them that you heard about them on the Locked On Podcast Network. Coming up, we'll learn more about Penn State, Michigan State, and predictions that are absolutely positively going to go wrong. Stay tuned. All right, coming up after this, we're going to talk about all the games this weekend, and I will give you predictions that are absolutely sure to go wrong. But before we get to that, really excited to bring in the first guest on the new edition of the Locked On Big Ten podcast. So this person's name will forever be in the history books as the guest. So that's a pretty big honor. But luckily, I found somebody who's up for the challenge, who is super talented, and I can tell you quickly, there's nobody that knows more about Penn State football than my next guest. His name is Kevin McGuire, and you can find him exclusively here on the Locked On Podcast Network. He is the host of Locked On Nittany Lions, and he's been kind enough to join me on the show here today. Kevin, how do you feel? You're now the official answer to the trivia question of who was the first guest on the newly launched Locked On Big Ten. How do you feel about that?
Well, you know what? I feel incredibly honored, but there's also a lot of pressure here because I got to set the bar for the future of this show here. So I'll try to do my best here, and hopefully we can set some high expectations for you guys moving forward.
All right, well, let's talk expectations. So expectations for Penn State this season. I'm not sure what folks expected coming in. Obviously, you know, you lose a guy like Trace McSorley, who was sort of the face of the program in some respects. Obviously, still dealing with, you know, year two without Saquon. But 6-0 coming into this big game this Saturday night. So they're welcoming the Michigan Wolverines to town. So let's start here. How would you sort of assess the first six games for Penn State? And I guess if you had to give them sort of like a measurement coming into this game, are they kind of at their peak? Are they sort of middle of the road? How do you see them coming into this game based off the first six games?
Well, you know, I think at this point in the season, I sort of expected them to be no worse than 5-1 coming into this game. I thought maybe that Iowa game could have been a toss up, and you know, honestly, it probably was. But I really do feel like they were positioned well to get to this Michigan game with a lot riding on the line. And I think they've taken care of business. You know, certainly their defense is pretty good right now. And that's probably the strength by far because their offense has had some slow starts. It's had some games where they've kind of run into a wall and get a little stale. And that's something that should be a little bit alarming going into the second half here, including this Michigan game. But you know, I think for all the pieces that they have been trying to replace, I think the recruiting that they've been doing has brought in some talent that has some good potential. And we're starting to see some of that from some of these younger guys, especially like running back Noah Kane, kind of emerging as the running back for this offense. But you know, it's still an offense that probably has room to grow. And I don't know how quickly they'll be able to grow before some of these big games come up.
So let's talk a little bit about quarterback play. So Sean Clifford has taken over as the main signal caller. To your point, not necessarily you know, Heisman-esque stats year to date, but certainly has been solid for the team. How do you project him going up against a Don Brown defense in Michigan, who's been pretty stout throughout the year so far?
I think we got a little bit of a glimpse of what Sean Clifford's going to be doing against a pretty good defensive team last week against Iowa. Got also a shaky start. Kind of calmed down as the second quarter came around, and that's when they started to get into a little bit of a groove offensively. I think this could be the similar kind of a formula. I think it's going to be a little bit of a rough start for him because this Michigan defense is certainly something that should be intimidating for a young quarterback, even though he's playing at home. I think this is a real big test for him. I do think there's probably a little bit more confidence in him going into this week just because of what he was able to do against Iowa. You know, again, not spectacular numbers, but he got the job done. And that's really all they're going to need him to do, I think, if they're going to have a chance to win this game this weekend.
What about Noah Kane? So what is Penn State, obviously the offensive line, what do they need to do to get Noah Kane sort of rolling here against, again, what's a pretty formidable Michigan defense?
It's going to be tough, but I do feel like these last couple of weeks have shown that Noah Kane's probably going to be the guy that they can feel comfortable with. You know, I don't know if he's going to be breaking open too many big long runs, but you know, just picking up 3 yards, 4 yards here and there when he needs it, I think that's ultimately what's going to get them going. Because I feel like even though he's just a freshman, I think there's a lot of upside potential here. You know, obviously the offensive line has to find ways to give him some room because it's not going to be easy to do. But if he can do that, I think he's got some capabilities to keep drives alive and, you know, milk some time off the clock.
Well, Michigan hasn't necessarily been a juggernaut at offense this year either. So Shea Patterson has struggled a tad at quarterback. I think the switch to Josh Gattis is still maybe taking shape. How do you, as someone who looks at it from a Penn State perspective, with Michigan's offense coming in, how concerned slash scared slash sort of worried are you about Michigan's offensive prowess?
I don't think there's a whole lot of to worry about as far as that Michigan offense is concerned, just because Penn State's defense has been playing really well this season. And we've seen that the Michigan offense, it's hit or miss, and it's a lot more misses probably because it's the transition isn't quite going as smoothly as I think a lot of people were kind of anticipating coming into the season. But there's always the question in the back of my mind is, what if they all put it together this week? how much danger could Penn State truly be in? Again, the Penn State defense is fine, and they're not going to get run off the field or anything like that, especially at home. But you know, there's just a matter of, you know, eventually you figure this Michigan offense is going to click against a good defensive team. What if it is that this week? How does Penn State respond? So that would probably be the biggest question I have in my mind.
Well, one of the key matchups. So Penn State leads the nation in only allowing 1.5 yards per rushing attempt. Michigan's had some struggles on the ground. I know they kind of broke out against the Illini this past weekend, but prior to that, they were not necessarily a ground and pound team, if you will. How do you see that matchup playing out? Do you think it'll play true to form with Michigan struggling to run the ball against the stout Penn State defense?
I do think so. I think that's an advantage for Penn State, and I think, you know, if you're Penn State, you want to make this a game where Shea Patterson's going to have to beat you, you know, throwing the football. And you know, I think they're going to have opportunities to bring pressure on the quarterback too. So, and we've seen that Patterson has had his fumble issues this week, so or the season. So I think that's obviously one of the things they're going to be trying to focus on, you know, trying to create those turnovers, because I think if they can get some pressure in the backfield, you know, certainly it's going to slow the running game down. I don't think Penn State's going to be hit too hard by the Michigan running game. So it really just depends on whether or not Patterson's able to get into any kind of a comfort level.
Well, the other important kind of telling stats here. So Michigan has 14 sacks on the year. Penn State has 10. So certainly both teams are able to get pressure on the quarterback. If you had to look at both of the offensive line play, which of these numbers concern you more? Do you think Michigan has a better opportunity to get to Sean Clifford, or do you think that Penn State has an opportunity to get to Shea Patterson? Where would you kind of give the edge on the line play there?
I might give a slight edge to Michigan, but it's a very slight edge. And I just feel like there's probably a little bit more upside potential if Michigan's offensive line can be cohesive. And I know that's been a problem for them at times this season. But you know, there's just something about some of the players that they have there, I think they're probably more equipped to handle what Penn State's going to do up front defensively. And I think that the Penn State offensive line may be one of the better ones that James Franklin has had. But you know, they have had some shaky moments too. We saw against Iowa, you know, you can get pressure and make Sean Clifford's life a little bit miserable back there. But, you know, that was a road game. I don't know how much of that energy feeds into it. Maybe it's completely different here since the game's going to be at home in Beaver Stadium.
Speaking of Beaver Stadium, so I've never been to a whiteout experience, but you see this thing on TV and it looks pretty fantastic. So what do you expect from a crowd perspective this Saturday night? I'm sure the place will be packed, 105 plus or whatnot. I guess, what's the atmosphere like? Have you been, I guess, for some of those experiences, and B, what's that atmosphere like when you're actually in the stadium?
Yeah, I've been to a couple whiteouts over the years, and you know, the nighttime atmosphere when Penn State is playing good football and they've got a good opponent in town, it's pretty cool. It really is. And I'm expecting a pretty close game. I think that's going to be an energized stadium from start to finish. So it's going to be really loud when Michigan's got the ball, especially if they're, you know, threatening to score. That defensive home field advantage is going to play a little bit of a factor. And maybe it causes Michigan to take a timeout, or maybe it causes a false start. And if it does, it's only going to get louder. But it really is one of the cooler college football experiences out there. I know, you know, a lot of teams are doing these, you know, color outs and stripe outs and stuff like that. The whiteout at Penn State is still one of the coolest.
So obviously, again, it's number 7 versus number 16. So I know it's probably the biggest game of the weekend. College game day will be in town. Any festivities planned? I guess what kind of crowd do you think college game day will draw? Being out there for the contest.
Well, I think that I saw that game day was going to be setting up a little bit closer in campus, like on the Hub lawn and everything, which I think they've done before. So should get a pretty nice crowd because, you know, obviously people are going to have all day to be roaming around the campus and going to the bookstore and all that good stuff. People will be all around walking around tailgating and all that stuff. So it should be a pretty festive atmosphere pretty much everywhere you go. I think game day is going to have a pretty nice crowd. You know, looks like the weather, I think, is going to be pretty good, you know, for a fall. We've had a little bit of rain here, but I think it's going to be pretty nice on Saturday. So it should be pretty good. The tailgating scene at Penn State is obviously one of the main attractions, especially when you have all day to do it. Those parking lots are probably going to be filling up Friday night. So it should be a pretty electric atmosphere from start to finish all day long.
Well, I know most teams always say that they take these things one game at a time, and the most important game is the one in front of them, and yada, yada, yada. But how big of a statement would a win be for Penn State on Saturday night? How big is that in terms of their season going forward? And I guess, what do you think that would say about the program and sort of this season particularly if they do come out with a win?
Yeah, it would be huge. I know that Penn State is a higher-ranked team here, but they've had problems with Michigan. So being able to beat them, it would be a little bit of a statement in itself, and it's certainly a confidence boost because they're right in the midst of what was supposed to be a really big three-game stretch with Iowa, Michigan, and Michigan State coming up next week. So this is an opportunity to go at least 2-0, 2-1 at the very worst in this three-game stretch, and it would be huge if they can do it because, you know, like I said, James Franklin has had problems against Jim Harbaugh. But everybody talks about Jim Harbaugh's record on the road against ranked opponents. Well, James Franklin's isn't all that much better, and he's had his troubles against Michigan. So being able to get this one would be huge. And, of course, you look at the way that this Big Ten race is playing out. A win here certainly keeps them in the thick of things.
All right, I hate to do predictions, so I'll get you out of here on this. Penn State will win this game if they do blank. Fill in the blank for me. Penn State will win this game if they do blank.
Force three turnovers. I already said, you know, Michigan has had problems all season long with fumbles. I think if Penn State can get three turnovers and get at least 10 points off of those turnovers, that puts them in a really good position to get this win.
All right, again, he's Kevin McGuire. You can find him on Twitter at LockedOnNittany. You can also follow him on Twitter at KevinOnCFB. I know, Kevin, I may be biased, but I think you set the bar pretty high for guests on the newly minted Locked On Big Ten podcast. So we hope that the rest of the guests can rise to that level as well.
Well, you know, I hope that somebody does clear the bar, and then the next person after that clears that bar. And I hope by the next time I do get a chance to come on and talk some college football with you, that I'm able to clear that bar too. So wish you all the best of luck. I'm looking forward to listening to the show and subscribing, and I look forward to seeing what you guys do with it.
All right, to close out the Friday edition of the Locked On Big Ten podcast, let's run through the slate of games this weekend. I'll break down each game and give you a prediction that I'm sure will backfire on me. And I will pick a winner. Spoiler alert, these are for entertainment purposes only if you take these picks as some sort of a gospel. Well, I don't know what to tell you. So let's start with the Friday night tilt. We have Ohio State traveling up to Northwestern. This game will now be on the Big Ten Network. The Yankees, Astros, ALCS has moved this game around. Ohio State is a 27.5 road favorite. You don't see that number very often, but it's probably justified. Justin Fields, J.K. Dobbins have been just playing lights out. For anybody who is concerned about the Urban Meyer to Ryan Day transition, I think so far your fears have been quelled. Meanwhile, Northwestern is coming in here in a stumble, 1-4 in their last five games. The quarterback position has been a tad of a challenge. Hunter Johnson appears to be the guy, but certainly hasn't necessarily had a bang-up season at this point. So Friday night tilt, I know Northwestern will have the grass on the field at the stadium probably about 19 inches high. I don't know if that'll slow Ohio State down. I think Justin Fields or J.K. Dobbins are too much, and in the end, Ohio State will prevail. Next is Wisconsin at Illinois. This is a Saturday tilt. You can find this on the Big Ten Network. Wisconsin, a 31-point road favorite, and probably justifiably so. I'm not sure if it's official, but Jonathan Taylor appears to be running away with the Heisman. We'll see what kind of love he gets. It's kind of a quarterback-driven award at times, but look, 825 yards on the ground, 14 touchdowns. He has just been a one-man wrecking crew. Probably my favorite thing on the internet this week is there's a video going around of what's labeled as Wisconsin blocking drills, and it's a man wrestling a bear. I don't have more context other than why is a man wrestling a bear? And is that really what they do at Wisconsin football practice? I would actually believe if you told me it was. Anyway, Jonathan Taylor just killing it up on the ground. And that's probably not good for Illinois, who is allowing 200 rushing yards per game. Advantage Wisconsin. I think Wisconsin takes care of this one easily. Purdue at number 23, Iowa, Saturday, 12 Eastern, ESPN2. This is an interesting game. I looked at this one a little bit. Iowa's coming off back-to-back losses. They haven't really been the offensive juggernaut the last few weeks. But Purdue is going to be playing without the quarterback Sindelar and wide receiver Rondale Moore. Those are two of their most important offensive players. Iowa is a 17.5 point favorite at home. And that's really what I'll lean on this one. I don't know that I think that they cover that spread, but I do think the home crowd, I do think they're a little more healthy right now than Purdue. I'm going to give the slight edge to Iowa to take that one. Minnesota's going to row the boat on over to Rutgers. That's 3:30 Saturday on the Big Ten Network. Look, for Rutgers, it's just not pretty. We talked about it to start the show. New coaches coming in at some point. They are 1-5 on the season. They are averaging 11 points on the season. Minnesota looked pretty darn impressive dominating a Nebraska team, and they did it really on the ground. Their ground game was pretty prolific, and Nebraska had no answers to stop it. That's not really good if you're Rutgers because they're giving up about 200 yards rushing on the ground. I think the fighting PJ Flex go in there and take care of business, and probably an easy win for Minnesota at Rutgers, which will improve Minnesota to remain unbeaten. And so curious to see how that plays in the polls. I know Rutgers isn't necessarily a top-tier program, but undefeated is undefeated. Indiana will be playing at Maryland, 3:30 Big Ten Network. Indiana is a 5.5-point favorite here. Another one that was interesting to really look at. Maryland obviously was off to a hot start, but they're 1-3 in their last four. Who is playing quarterback? Great question. Tyrell Pigram is allegedly the starter right now. He took the first team reps in practice, but no official starter has been named. Josh Jackson apparently could have played last week, so who knows if this is subterfuge by Mike Locksley and that staff, or if we will actually see Pigram out there on the field. But either way, I don't know. I'm not sure if it's enough. Indiana's actually sneaky impressive the last couple games. Michael Penix Jr.'s played well. He played well against Rutgers, which, again, isn't necessarily a huge challenge. But he put up a really good showing against Michigan State as well. Again, this game is at Maryland, but another road dog. I'm going to ride Indiana here. I don't know if they cover that spread. I can see this being a field goal game. But I'm going to go with Indiana right now. I think the Maryland team is just kind of too up and down. And until I see some consistency, I'm not sure that I'm on board with picking that one out. And then finally, the game of the weekend. You heard Kevin McGuire, Locked On Podcast Network host, tell you a little bit about Michigan at Penn State. That's 7:30. That's on ABC. Penn State is a 9-point favorite. I think this comes down to a defensive battle. I think Penn State's defense is stout against the run. That's going to require Shea Patterson to throw the football. I don't know if you've seen Shea Patterson throw the football, but at times it can be quite an adventure. So we'll see if they can put it all together this Saturday night. I think the offensive switch has been a little challenging, and we'll see if this is the game they piece it together. I think Clifford and Kane can do just enough to squeak by. Do not expect this to be a scoreboard lighter by any stretch, but I do think Penn State will come out of this game with a win. Again, I'm not sure they take that 9-point spread. I could see this being a touchdown game and something that's close late. I think the home crowd, I think Penn State's defense, I think that is what rides them to the victory. And those are my predictions that are absolutely sure to go wrong. Again, if entertainment purposes only, if you take those as gospel, I wish you the best of luck. But what I do want to thank you for is listening to this show. Again, first edition of the reimagined Locked On Big Ten podcast. You can find us each and every day here on the Locked On Podcast Network. We'll be back on Monday with a fresh show. We'll run through the games. We'll give you some recaps, highlight the game of the week, give out our game balls. And so it should be a good Monday show. Enjoy the weekend. Thank you for listening. Again, make sure you follow us on Twitter, Locked On BitGen Podcast. Follow me at Sports by Adam. Subscribe, rate, and review if you haven't already done so. We're available on all the major podcast platforms. And then check back in on Monday morning. Give us another listen. Give us another chance. And we'll let you know what happened over the weekend of games. Until then, everybody be safe. Have a happy weekend.